Hallelujah. Certainly it's good to be back in the house of the Lord today. We thank Him so much for what He did for us yesterday. He certainly is a merciful Savior. Amen. I told my wife, even going back to the room, I said, I don't really believe I even deserve to be in a meeting like this. But, well, the Lord sure is kind, isn't He? Sure is a marvelous Savior. When I think of where I came from and how Jesus brought me out from a life of shame and sorrow, lost in sin without a doubt, with all my heart, I want to praise Him for the love He gave to me when the precious hand of Jesus reached way down and rescued me. Oh, I'd have to say with the other hymn writer, oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be, oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I do thank Him for all He's done for us. And I'll be honest with you. My wife said when we were going back to the room, she said, you know, it's always like that. It seemed like at our place, when the Lord moves in such power, something happens and nothing gets recorded. And I can't say, preacher, you're the only one that goes through that. But I do thank the Lord for everything my heart experienced yesterday. I certainly needed every message. Thank you, Brother Buster Mullins, Pastor Barry Rackley, thank you for minding the Lord yesterday. My heart surely stood in need of what you brought to us. Now, take your Bible this morning. I really don't usually talk a whole lot before I preach. Those of you that know me, you know that about me. Psalm 23 is where the Lord's directed our hearts today. I've been in this psalm for several weeks, and it's no secret if you've heard me preach so many times that I do love the Psalms. I am a bit amazed that in this modern hour, and I don't know why, that the largest book in the Bible seems to be the most neglected book when it comes to modern preaching. I don't understand why God has given us such a treasure trove of spiritual guidance and aid and spiritual help in this section of the Bible, why we haven't turned to it, especially in the hour in which we live. When I think about everything that was said yesterday about the climate of the hour in which we're living in, the political landscape and how it looks, and the economic crisis that may be looming on the horizon, I could say to you this morning, none of that will affect the fact that you and I that are born again can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Nothing that's going on around us can change the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. You say, there may be an economic crash. There may be. But I serve a God that put His prophet down by the brook and fed Him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening and let Him drink by the brook. That same God is our God today. Psalm chapter 23. Stand with me while we read the King James Bible. I know you know it well. I fear the familiarity of it may cause our minds to distract or detach from what God has for us. But this is what the Lord gave us for today's service. Psalm chapter 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. You'll notice our text here in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 5. The Bible said, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I'm keying in on that phrase, thou anointest my head with oil. The Bible said in Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In the song book of Israel, the shepherd's psalms are penned down by David himself. Psalm chapter 8, Psalm 19, Psalm 23, Psalm chapter 29, and Psalm 144 have all been designated by expositors of this book of the Bible as shepherd psalms. And this particular psalm has become one of the most beloved passages in all of the Bible. It may surprise you to realize that it has been called the hymn of the martyrs, because countless numbers of martyrs have gone and sealed their witness for Christ, quoting this particular psalm on their lips when they sealed their death as a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. This psalm, like many other passages, what Psalm 100 is for delight in worship, what John 3:16 is for the depths of God's love, Psalm 23 is for you and I to describe our wonderful relationship to our shepherd. In fact, in the first verse, David confesses a marvelous reality and an awesome relationship when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad I can confess the same reality this morning. He has confessed with assurance that he has a personal relationship with the God of glory. I'm glad I can say this morning that the good shepherd who gave his life on the cross is my shepherd. I'm glad I can confess this morning that the one who got up out of the grave, according to Hebrews chapter 13, that great shepherd of the sheep, hallelujah, is the one that crowned the gospel with good news and has allowed me to say that the one who has died and been buried and rose again is the one who is my shepherd. And then the Bible tells us that he's coming back as the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. When we look at this psalm for just a minute, and just bear with me for just a moment, we notice not only is that relationship confessed openly, I hope you can say not that Jesus is a shepherd, but that Jesus Christ is your shepherd. Not only do we see in this text the rest that the shepherd has led him into, he has been made and brought to lie down in green pastures, and so he's enjoyed the rest of the shepherd. He's enjoyed the refreshment of still waters. He's enjoyed the restoration of his soul. The sheep needs physical restoration because he cannot get up off his back on his own. But a wonderful shepherd puts his arms in his hands underneath that sheep and restores him to his feet so he might go on in the journey with him. Not only rest and refreshment and restoration, but also the shepherd has led in righteous paths. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. How is it that so many Christians today tell us that the Lord is leading them, and yet the path they're going down is a path that is not a righteous path? Our shepherd only and always leads in righteous paths. Not only that, the Bible tells us here that the shepherd has come to a marvelous realization. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm glad whether it is in life or in death, our shepherd will never forsake us and he will never leave us. Now the shepherd has seven basic facets that he keeps with him most of the time while he's caring for the sheep. He has a mantle on the outside. It's usually made from sheepskin. In the cold season, Brother Brown, he turns that wool to the inside and stays warm. He has a pouch on his side called a scrip, and that scrip is where he keeps some small provisions. You remember when David went out to fight Goliath and he took the sling and the scrip. He went down by the brook and picked up five smooth stones. Put them into the bag. You say, preacher, there was just one giant. Yeah, but he had several brothers. I'm convinced that David was ready, thank God, to sling the rock to take care of every one of them. Hallelujah. And so he had the scrip, and he had the sling, the favored instrument that he used of a nomadic worker like a shepherd was a sling. He had a rod. The rod was used to guard the sheep against danger. He had used that rod. Usually the business end was carved from a big, large knot. He used it to fight against other predators and even snakes. And then he had the staff or the shepherd's crook. The crook was used to guard against distance. Many times the shepherd would put the crook out when they were going through a dangerous passage and the sheep needed to stay closer and be more precise in his steps. And the shepherd would pull that sheep back onto the path. Oh, I'm glad in my heart. Yesterday I could feel the pull of my shepherd pulling me to the path where he desired. I'm thankful I can still feel the tug. Oh, yes. I said I'm thankful I can still feel the tug of the shepherd's crook as he pulls me back into the path. And then the shepherd also, when he was a considerable distance from the home ranch, he would use a tent. That is the number six thing. It was easily taken down and moved from one place to another. And Isaiah used it to talk about as a symbol of the fleetingness and the shortness of life here in this world. And lastly of all, the shepherd kept with him a horn of oil. He kept that oil for a specific reason. Now, there's some expositors that have imagined that this passage in verse number 5, that the metaphor changes from that of a shepherd and a sheep to a host and a guest. If you believe that, I'm not here to shoot at you, and I don't want to argue with you after service. The language in the context does not merit the change in interpretation. You say, preacher, what about the table? The table is the place where the shepherd has prepared to take the sheep. He leads them to a place called the valley. He brings them to the valley. Not only does he bring them to the valley, but thank God he brings them through the valley. Oh, I'm glad the valley is not my destination. Thank God my destination is to travel higher. You see, the tablelands, which are up in the highlands, it's where the rich grass is. It's the best place to graze. Oh, I'm glad my shepherd is always leading me higher. He's taking me farther, and he's leading me higher. I'm glad I've got a shepherd, and that shepherd, before he ever takes those sheep, he has already walked every square mile. He's already walked the distance ahead of them. He's checked out every watering hole. He's looked for the predators. He's checked the plants. Oh, I'm glad he's come this way before us. He who was the Son of God became the Son of Man. He who was a thrice holy God became a man, yet without sin, and he came this way before us. But the shepherd has the oil, and I'm glad that he does. You know, if you understand the life and the economy of an Israelite, how crucial the oil was. It was, in many respects, a staple commodity in the Jewish life. It affected and touched every aspect of their society. Its historic use is found throughout the entire scripture. It was very, very valuable. It was harvested from the crooked branches of the olive tree. Then it was pressed out. In fact, the most valuable oil of the olive is called golden oil. That's because it was extracted not by the aid of heat, but by the aid of pressure. And sometimes you and I would have to confess at the time when God puts his hand on us in such a marvelous way, it's the time we felt the most pressure on our heart. Oh, I bless his name that the unction of God is still available people in this hour, and that you and I can have the touch of God in this hour. And so this oil was used in various ways in the social life and in the national life and in the spiritual life. Let me cover this quickly and get to where I need to be. The oil had a natural use. In fact, it was that fresh, sweet olive oil that was preferred above any other type of oil, even butter and animal fat, to cook in. In fact, this oil was used as not only cooking oil, but also fuel for lamps. It was boiled in soda and also made into a soap. So it was very valuable in the natural realm. It was used as fuel in the lamps. And so in the natural realm, the oil was very valuable. It also had a medicinal use. You remember when that traveler went down the Jericho Road, and the Bible said that he fell among thieves. And while he was among the hands of those thieves, they wounded him, bruised him, and left him half dead. An Israelite came by. A Levite came by. They passed him up. But a good Samaritan stopped, and the Bible said he poured in oil and wine. Oh, thank God for that stranger that passed by that day. He poured in that oil and the wine. Are there not times in our lives when we need God to pass by us and pour in some oil and pour in some wine? Oh, that oil, a type of the Holy Ghost and the power and the unction of God, and the wine, a type of the joy of God. Oh, when the world has beaten you up and even some have left you behind, I'm glad there's a stranger that'll pass by your way and help you in the dark night hour. I'm thankful that the oil had a natural use and it had a medicinal use, and then that oil had a hospitable use. If you came into an Eastern home, when you arrived, they would take off your sandals. They would wash your feet. They would make you welcome. And then before the meal, they would anoint your head with a fragrant olive oil as a gesture of hospitality. Our Lord used this very fact to tell Simon the Pharisee when he came into his house, and that woman came in and she anointed our Lord's feet and washed them with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And Simon the Pharisee said, if this man were a prophet, he would have known that she was a sinner. Oh, she was a sinner. Oh, but thank God she had been forgiven of so much. And she poured out her love on the Son of God. Oh, you and I have here in the Scripture an example of a hospitable use of the oil. It had an effect on the guests. It made their skin bright and smooth to the touch. It was a source of refreshment. But then the oil also had a sacred spiritual use. You know, it was absolutely a necessity in the spiritual life of Israel for them to have the oil. There was a sacred oil that was used by and for the priesthood and for the anointing of the prophet and the priest and also the king. There are three anointed offices in the Old Testament. I'm moving quickly. Are you with me now? They would put that oil in the sacrifices. They would also take that oil, and the priests were given a divine recipe, if you will. Now, I don't want to call it that. I feel like it's a little bit demeaning, but for lack of a better phrase, God gave them the specific ingredients of a sacred oil, and that oil was so special. And when I think about it, I think about how it was poured on the head of the prophet. I'm telling you, if you're going to do anything for God, if you're going to speak for God, if you're going to be used of God to preach His Word, you're going to have the oil of God poured on your head. Oh, I bless His name that the Holy Ghost is still available in 2022. Oh, I'm glad you and I can still have the old time power. We still need the old time power. It's not about marketing and programs and strategies and all that. Oh, if there's anything missing in the modern training of preachers, it is the reality that there's so much you cannot get in a classroom. There's so much you cannot get sitting in front of a professor, but there's so much you can get when you go down to the secret place and you stay there with God
and you let God take hold of your life and let him pour some fresh oil on your head. Oh, bless his holy name. And David said, my head shall be anointed with fresh oil. Oh, there's some of us here today that ought to say, God, pour it on me. I sure do need a fresh touch. I need the fresh oil of God in my life. Hallelujah. The king was anointed. It might surprise you that before the king was ever to take his office, that there was a whole elaborate ceremony at the tabernacle or at the temple when he received the crown. He received a copy of the law of God, the first five books of the Bible. And before he went into his office, he was anointed by the priest and set apart for God. The prophet was to stand with his back to God and his voice to the people and speak to the people for God. The priest was to walk before the people as the Lord's captain and his authority. And then there's the priest. The priest was anointed. He was washed and he was clothed and he was anointed. That priest was an intercessor. Did you know the Bible teaches us that every one of us that are saved are a priest in the sight of God. We believe as Baptists in the priesthood of the believer. And we also understand that God has chiefly made us an intercessor. I'm afraid that the office and that the ministry of intercessory prayer has long been forgotten. I'm afraid that many today are looking for a job or a task, but they have long forgotten that God desires for you and I to be intercessors for Him. I thank God that you and I have access to go into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. That you and I have a sacred place and you and I have a sacred task. You say, well, I guess I'm just a praying person. That's not a bad thing. Oh, we need to enlist again so many others that will be prayer warriors in this hour. And that sacred oil is so special. Stay with me now. I'm getting to where I need to be. That sacred oil was such that it was such of a great price. It was very valuable. In fact, the literal oil in the Old Testament was an oil that was very valuable. Its price was very costly in nature. Four expensive and very aromatic spices went into the sacred oil. The pure myrrh, the sweet cinnamon, the sweet calamus, and the cassia. Those were very costly spices. Let me remind you that the gift of the Holy Ghost was preceded by the price paid at Calvary. That the gift God has given us and the presence that God has put in us and the person that God has placed in us and the power that He brings was purchased at Calvary. And then there are times it comes also at a tremendous price, a price of prayer, a price of being on the altar of God, a price of a living sacrifice, a price of laying aside earthly enjoyments, a price, our brother preached about yesterday, prayer and fasting. Oh, may the Lord touch us today and help us to realize the great price of the power of God in this hour. Not only that, the placement of the oil is important. Stay with me now. In fact, that oil was poured on Aaron's head. On Aaron's head, and not only on Aaron's head, but also on every son that entered into the priestly ministry. Not only every priest, but every piece in the tabernacle was anointed with oil. Every aspect of our ministry ought to be empowered by God. It's not just the order of service. It's not just how smooth that we are and how polished that we are, but it is the oil of God that makes the difference in this hour. And so before anything could be done, every relationship to the holy place, the sacrifices or the priesthood, the oil of God had to be poured on that and placed upon them. God placed a prohibition upon it. It was not to be poured upon the flesh of a common man or a stranger. It was not to be replicated. I want to say you don't have to fake it when you can't make it. Oh, you can say, oh God, I sure do need you to pour some fresh oil on my head. Oh God, I sure do need a fresh touch from you in this hour. And so God is still able in this hour to give us that which we need for our hearts and for our lives.
Let me say three more things about the oil, and I'll get to where I need to be. That oil, which was so sacred and valuable in this spiritual life, was fresh oil. It was oil that was extracted without the aid of heat. It was that which was brought out of the olive without the aid of heat or without boiling. It was pure and precious and effective. And there's no doubt, sometimes when our services are tight and things are backward and awkward, and you're thinking, Lord, I'm preaching the truth, what is wrong? Oh, I tell you, there just needs to be an addition of that holy oil added to our lives. Oh, I don't always have it. I feel like the old preacher when they said, what is the unction? What is the power? And he said, I don't knows what it is, but I sure do knows what it is when I ain't got it. Oh, may God help us to realize that there's something so valuable, that fresh oil from God. You may have been there many times, I'm sure I have, when I needed God to give me a fresh touch from Him. Not only was that oil fresh oil, but that oil was fragrant oil. In fact, the spices mingled in. Can you imagine at the inauguration of Aaron's office? Psalm 133 tells us how sacred and holy that anointing of the high priest was, where they poured that oil and it ran down all the way to the skirts of Aaron's garments as an emblem of brotherly unity. And he went out into the tabernacle courts, and that fragrance seemed to ascend up into the tabernacle courts. But the wonderful thing is that all of Aaron's sons had the same oil poured on them, and you could smell the sweet cinnamon and the calamus and the cassia, and you could smell that aroma. I'm telling you, friend, it's the oil of God that we need on us in this hour. It's the oil of God that you and I need for preaching and singing and living for God. We still need that sweet fragrance of our Savior on our life. Oh, may God send it again and help us to obtain the oil of God on our heads again. That oil was fresh oil. That oil was fragrant oil. That oil was familiar oil. It was poured not only on the head of Aaron, and it was also poured on the head of his sons. Did you know God gave Christ the Holy Ghost, and He operated in the power of the Holy Ghost for His ministry? Acts 10 tells us that. Not only that, the same Holy Ghost that lived in Christ, that operated through Christ in His earthly ministry, is the same Holy Ghost that God has given you and I. The same Spirit. Ephesians 3:20, the same power. The power that worketh in us is the same power that was given to Christ. Now, I've talked about these aspects of the oil in various aspects of the life of Israel. Natural, medicinal, and all of that. And now the helpful use. In fact, the oil had a helpful use among the shepherd and his sheep. It during the summertime was a time of great danger. How many of you pastors say sometimes that the summertime can be the most difficult time of the ministry? It can be a time when people get out of God's will. Some preachers call it the summer slump. And I call it a time when most people seem to drift away from God, detached from the house of the Lord. And they push the eject button on their spiritual life. And so summertime can be a very dangerous time. But the shepherd's watchful eye began to look over the sheep. And he knew that there was a great time of need in the summertime. You see, the sheep have a number of insects that prey on them and pester them during the summertime. And that during that time, the nose fly and other types of insects will begin to swarm around the sheep's head. Oh, have you ever got like that where some things just begin to swarm around your head? And you say, God, I'm trying to get beyond it. I can't seem to get over it. I can't seem to get beyond it. Oh, I'm telling you, when you've got some swarms around your head, there's a time when you and I need the shepherd, hallelujah, to pour the fresh oil of God on our heads. Oh, how we need the oil of God, even in the summertime. Oh, these would swarm around the sheep's head, attempting, the nose fly would attempt
to deposit its eggs in the nose and in the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. If he was successful in laying his eggs in the nasal area of that sheep, then the larva would hatch out within a few days. They would work their way up into the sheep's passage and they would cause inflammation. They burrow themselves into the flesh of that sheep, and they would also cause intense irritation and inflammation. I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians that come to the house of God and they've got a swarm around their head and they got a sadness in their heart. Oh, you say, what do they need? Oh, preacher, I know they need preaching, but they need more than preaching. I know they need singing, but they need more than singing. They need the great shepherd, thank God, to take his awe and rub it on their head and give them something they need from God. Now listen carefully. The sheep respond to these flies in a number of ways. See if you can imagine yourself at some point in your life. If the infestation occurs, they begin to beat their heads on the ground. Can you imagine that? After a few years of this COVID craziness, they began to beat their heads on the ground. They beat their heads on rocks or on a bush. Some of them even get so frenzied and so panicked that they actually can also come to the point where they die from all the effects of what these flies have done to them. I'm telling you, we faced a couple of years of the worst frenzy and panic that you'll ever see in your life. And can I tell you this? Your life's not in the hand of the government. Your life's not in the hand of a vaccine. Your life's not in the hand of medical science. Oh, you say, who's your life in the hands of? My life is in the hands of a wonderful shepherd. He's watching over me. He's taking care of me. There's a time when I just need him to put his hand on my head and rub the oil in. Oh, I tell you, you and I need it today. And have the fresh touch of the oil of our shepherd placed on our head. The sheep would become panicky and frantic. During the fly seasons, the flies begin to swarm and the sheep run frantically back and forth. And I remember times when you could be in church and somebody would sneeze. You remember them times? Everybody go. Everybody just spin around and look. Oh, Lord. I hope it's not them. I hope they ain't got it. Well, I'll tell you this. Thank God my life is in the hands of a marvelous shepherd. And he's been looking on. And there's so much frantic and so much panic. And the sheep would even stamp their feet. And they'd run back and forth. They'd toss their heads up and down for hours. Because those bugs had got into the nasal passages and buried themselves in. In fact, some of them would even get so distressed. They'd go back and hide in the brush and fail to come out. I'm telling you what, sometimes if you're not careful, you'll let the devil drive you back into a cave somewhere. Oh, but God still has some oil. I bless his holy name. There's a shepherd that still has some oil. I praise God that God said he anointed Christ with the oil of gladness above all his fellows. Hallelujah. You and I need the oil of God, do we not? In distressing hours, in difficult days. And I'm sure that you don't need me to tell you how difficult our day is. Now, I'm not making excuse or alibi about any of it. I'm simply saying that before you stamp your feet, before you shake your head up and down, before you hide in the brush, you must realize that the shepherd has his watchful eye. Hallelujah. I'm glad that nothing has taken place in my life that has bypassed the watchful eye. My shepherd, he knows exactly what my church is going through. He knows exactly what I've gone through. He knows exactly what you've gone through. He's there to help you in this hour. I want to say this, that this infestation of these things is so devastating that in sometimes it even causes blindness to the sheep. Oh, how many sheep have become blind in recent days because they have not had the sacred oil poured on their head. Oh,
And you may not believe this, but honestly, in our church, we probably had some of the best services we've ever had during the COVID crisis. We had some times when God met with us in mighty power. We had some times when God poured our cup full and gave us things we couldn't get in any other hour. But in this time, the remedy of the shepherd is during the fire season, he has his eyes on those sheep. He knows exactly what they're going through. I thought about this early this morning. I said, dear God, there may be a preacher of the gospel and his precious wife at just about a half a hair's breadth from saying, I'm done. Oh, but I pray, Lord, that you'd uncap the horn of oil and that you'd pour it on their head and so they can have a fresh touch from God. Oh, quit stomping your feet. I quit shaking your head. I quit beating your head against a bush and look up and say, shepherd, I sure do need you to put your hand on me again. I sure do need a fresh touch from God. I need the oil of God flowing on my head again. You and I that are here today, we need that oil, don't we? I read about what a professional shepherd about this very subject said. He said, once the oil is applied to the head of the sheep, their behavior changes immediately. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Once he puts the oil on the head, oh, their behavior changes immediately. Once they feel that hand on them, oh, bless his name. Once they feel that hand on them, oh, they know that help has come. Oh, if you and I could just see that there's nothing that can replace the touch of God. There's nothing. Oh, you say, preacher, it's hard. Oh, I know it is, but it's not so hard that the hand of your shepherd have placed on your life. I cannot bring something to you. It'll change your life. Even in a time after you're saved, thank God for the hand of the shepherd on us. Once the oil is applied, the sheep's behavior changes entirely. The panic frenzy ends. Oh my, I'm afraid we're confessing some things we may not want to confess. The irritable behavior. Help us here, Lord. I know it might be time to pray, but look right up here at me right now. A lot of us get so irritable because we need a touch from God. Oh my, some of you couldn't get along if John the Baptist was here preaching. You'd find something to fuss or fight about. Picking every little old detail out of a preacher's message so you can fuss at him after the service. Isn't that why we're so irritable in this day? So many sinners going to hell. So many churches needing revival. We're sitting here looking over each other with a fine-tooth comb and trying to pick out a mote out of our brother's eye. We got a big old beam in ours and we've been under such a mess in our life and we won't confess that what we need most of all. Oh, what I need is that old time touch of God. What I need is for my shepherd to put his hand on my head and rub the oil in and God give me a fresh touch and let me preach in the old time power and let me labor, not in my own strength, but in the strength of God again. Oh, the panic frenzy, the irritable behavior, the restless pacing back and forth have ceased. And the sheep, after the oil is applied, it goes back to feeding again. See, that appetite comes back when the touch of God is on there. Sometimes we think it's our sermon. It may not be our sermon as much as the fact that the oil may not be on our head. And some of the oil may not be on their heads. Oh God, help us here, Lord. Once the oil is applied, the panic and the frenzy ceases. They go back to feeding again. They feed and then they lie down to rest. Oh, thank God for the rest we have in Christ. Thank God for that. My heart's been restless too many days. I didn't come here to preach down to you. I'm preaching across to you. I didn't come down to you. I didn't come to preach down to you. I come to sit down with you and say, brother, pray that that hand will be laid on my head again. Pray that oil will be rubbed all over me. Pray I can get that old time power again. Pray I can labor not in my own will and flesh, but I can labor in the power of my wonderful shepherd. Sometimes one touch of the oil, sometimes one application of the oil may last an entire summer. But if it did not, the shepherd's watchful eye would come back again and apply the oil again. I don't know how many times I sure have needed. Oh, Lord. Now, I know maybe you preachers don't think like this. I thought about what Brother Buster was saying. I guess I battle my own mind probably more than anything else in the world. My own mindset. You know, after you've been through an entire week from Sunday to Sunday, and you know Sister Flapjaw's got into it, Brother Wiggle Lips again, and you know this crowd over here can't hardly get along. They couldn't get along with anybody. And you know, there's a little skirmish here and a little problem there. Here's a family that's about on the rocks, and you got to try to help them so they don't wind up in the divorce court. And you come to the house of God, and you say in your office back there, Lord, oh Lord, if you can do anything with this, Lord, if you can do anything with this, Lord, would you be pleased somehow to meet with us today? And sometime in the service, about that time, you can start feeling a breeze from another world. Oh, I don't know about you. I can't make the wind blow, but I sure can raise my sail. And I raise my sail and catch that breeze from another world. Oh, bless His holy name. I'm glad even in times He mercifully sends that touch of God in the midst of all the swarming maladies that are swarming around our life. He puts to touch on us in a merciful way. I want to say this morning, I don't know about you, but I sure do need a fresh touch of the shepherd. No, when I think about it, how many times have you come to church and things kind of bugging you? You know what I'm saying? Had that old swarm around your head all week long. You've been fighting it and trying to deal with it, trying to ask God to help you, pestering circumstances, the panic of What if she don't get right? What if he don't get right? What if they cause more trouble than they already caused already? And you get in that cycle where you're just stomping your feet and shaking your head. And I probably ought to apologize to my wife. I even just ranted and raved at home over the problems that I had to face. All I needed was him to put his hand on my head one more time. Oh, all I needed was for him to put his hand on me one more time. No, I need that oil. I don't know about you, but I need that oil. In the pressures and circumstances of life, why not go to him today? He can pour in the oil of gladness. I'm afraid I've seen a generation that seemed to have lost all their joy in serving God in the Christian life. I wonder sometimes if we've not lost an entire generation because they come to church and watched us sit around like a bump on a pickle when we ought to be praising our God. Well, I tell you what made me so hungry when I got saved. First day I got saved, April 25th, 1982, Sunday night, I came back to church. Listen, I had a little long-haired hippie and had been out in sin and ungodliness and just got saved. They said, come on, let's go to a prayer room. I said, what's a prayer room? They said, come on, let's go. We went to a prayer room. I'd never been in nothing like that in my life. I sat down there and the preacher put his hand on my shoulder and said, we thank God for saving this young man. We've been praying for him. Took a few requests and they dropped down on their knees. Brother Brown, it sounded like a pack of dogs on a hot trail. I mean, I said, oh my. I mean, they led into praying. I mean, they were seeking God. I'd go back as a young Christian and I'm a little bit selfish. I'd get down beside Brother Charlie. He'd pray a hole through the sky and those old timers would come out of that prayer room waving their handkerchiefs and come out in the service and start shouting the victory. I said, God, I don't know what he has, but I sure want a double dose. I don't know what he's got, but Lord, pour it on me. I sure want a double dose of that old time power. Those old Christians made me hungry. They made me hungry. They'd come to the service and they'd wave their hands with the joy of God in their heart. They'd praise God. My Sunday school teacher ran out the back door and rang the church bell, said, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're having church, amen." No, you and I come to church and sit around and look at each other like a bunch of sheep that have been all infested up with all kinds of bugs on us everywhere. And what we need to do is we need to show an oncoming generation how wonderful it is to serve the Lord. I remember my baby started coming along. And all those old time shouters would get up in the service where I was pastoring. And I'd be there in the pew and I'd take my little babies and say, "Look." I'd say, look. Somebody said, "Preacher, why are you saying look?" I want them to see an old time Christian with the joy of God in their heart. I want them to get in an old time Holy Ghost, heaven sent, joy filled worship. I want them to get in where the shades of love lie deep and where the power of God is moving. Oh, bless His holy name. It's still good to serve the Lord. It's still good to serve the Lord. It's still good to serve the Lord, and the oil of God is flowing on your head. It's still good to serve the Lord. No, David said, "Thou anointest thine head with oil." How many of us today ought to say, "Lord, pour it on me"? I'd hear them old timers say, "Pour it on me, Lord. Pour it on me, Lord." No, I'd say today, "Lord, pour it on me. Pour it on me, Lord. I sure do need it." Stand with their heads bowed. The pastor's coming. Thank God for this opportunity today. Thank you, Pastor.